I'm Rose Fitzpatrick. I'm Deputy Chief Constable responsible for local policing in Police Scotland.
We're talking about stop and searches, particularly of children under the age of 12. Now, last week it was in the news and it was widely reported that there was over the 300 mark of stop and searches for under 12s, and it's now come out today that that was 18. You know, how was that figure so widely different?
Well, we were very clear when the time period of the information that we're talking about that we were in a position where we had a very clunky, old, standalone stop and search database, and we knew that there were issues about bringing legacy systems together and work to be done. So we have been doing work to audit those figures, and we've been doing work to audit our stop and search figures more generally. And in fact, we're having an independent review done by Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary, which is due to report at the end of February. What has happened with those is that we've established that actually 18 of those stops and searches related to consensual stop and search, where somebody has given their permission to be stopped and searched, of young people under the age of 12. And as we've reported to the police authority, which holds us to account on these issues today, we've been able to establish by talking specifically and individually to each of the officers involved in those 18 stop and searches that they did those in good faith in order to keep young people or those around them safe from some specific harm. Now, what we know is that last year as a force, we decided we would not, as a matter of policy, undertake stop and search of young people under the age of 12. And in fact, that still remains our policy. So it's important that we've been able to look at each of those cases and establish, firstly, that the officers have acted in good faith, and secondly, whether there were alternatives available to them that perhaps we need to offer more training around or more guidance to our officers to make it clearer that there are other ways to keep young people safe.
I suppose the question that people may be asking will be, you know, how was this information ever released in the first place? 300 to 18 is a massive difference.
Well, as we reported to the police authority at its public board meeting today, when the Freedom of Information request came in, which is as a result, which is how we've arrived at the figures being in the public domain, we were clear that we were doing work on our database and audits of our records. And we therefore, when the request came in, refused the request. And eventually there was an appeal to the Information Commissioner, who decided that the records would be released. And of course we would comply with the direction of the Freedom of Information Commissioner.
And you're looking at a review into alcohol when it comes to stop and searches as well, aren't you?
We are. We're very clear that stop and search is absolutely critical to policing, because it's a major, an important tactic that we use to reduce violence and antisocial behaviour and disorder, and to tackle the priorities that the public right across Scotland tell us are important. We also know that we have a power to seize alcohol from young people under the age of 18, because of course it's harmful to them and puts them at risk. What we don't have is a power to search young people under the age of 18 for alcohol. And one of the things that we are going to be doing in a review that we're undertaking, and that we will report at the end of March, is establishing what the various options would be for us going forward. We think it's important to do that because we know there are lots of different opinions about stop and search, and we want to get to a position where everybody is really clear about stop and search for the future, that we continue to be held to account about it, and we want to be open and transparent about it, but that there is a consensus, that people agree that that's how we're going to use stop and search and that's how we're going to take it forward.
And you provided a really good example as well of what you have at the moment, the powers you have at the moment for seizing that alcohol from an underage person, and what you would be maybe hoping to do or looking to have in the future. What was that example?
Well, I mean, there are lots and lots of examples, but something which our officers come across regularly might be after school, officers on patrol, they'll be in a park or a piece of green space and they'll come across young people. And this isn't right across Scotland every day of the week, but it does happen quite frequently. They might meet one group of young people sitting in the park who have alcohol, which is easily visible, cans and bottles around them. And our officers have the power to go up and seize that alcohol, to remove that harm from young people, and then to perhaps take young people home or engage with them however they do. And they record that as an alcohol stop and search. What we don't have at the moment, what we don't have is the power to search young people for alcohol. So we might go to the next group in the same park and find that they have their alcohol concealed. It might be in a school bag or a carrier bag. And what our officers can't do is use a power to stop and search. They have to ask those young people, could we have a look in your bag? Can we search you? And that those young people have the right to refuse, quite clearly. But that doesn't remove the harm. So we want to talk to the public, we want to talk to everybody who has a view about this, about what do we do in those circumstances for the best, and therefore how do we take stop and search forward. Quite often it will be, in the 18 examples that we spoke about to the police authority at its meeting today, it will be a call from the public to young people causing a disturbance or a nuisance of some sort. We heard examples today about young people reported to the police as throwing stones. What officers will come along and do is they will respond to that call from the member of the public, and they'll engage with those young people. It might be that as a result of that, and in the examples we had today, it was certainly the case, the officer then goes on to engage with the young person and stop and search them. Do they have stones in their pockets? Are they actually the young person responsible for this? If they are the young person responsible for this, then the next stage is to think about how best to keep that young person safe. So the stop and search in those circumstances is part of a broader engagement aimed at responding to the needs of the public and keeping young people safe.
Overall, then, you mentioned during today's meeting that lessons have to be learned, and that the chair of the police authority said, look, you know, this was human error and IT problems. So what will you learn going forward from this scenario?
Two things. The first thing is that we all accept that the police authority, the work they've done with us previously around their scrutiny of stop and search and their inquiry into that, we all accept that stop and search is an important tool. That is acknowledged. It is about keeping people safe and tackling the things which are important to the public. The second thing is that we need a consensus about how we use stop and search in the future, and for that we need a broad debate and a consideration of the options, and that's what we are going to be doing over the next few weeks leading up to reporting back to the police authority and to the Cabinet Secretary at the end of March.